We want to take our time just this evening to focus on a section in Scripture in the Old Testament. If you want to turn in your Bibles, if you want, to Micah chapter 5. And I'm going to be focusing on chapter 2. And we're looking at the coming of Christ prophesied in the Old Testament. And I'm just focusing on that one verse, verse 2. It says in Micah 5, 2, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." We might not be incredibly familiar with the book of Micah. It's not one of those real well-known books. But if there's any section that we are familiar with, it's probably this one, because it's quoted in the New Testament. And it foretells the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, in verse 2. This passage was also quoted by the chief priests and the teachers of the law at the time of the birth of Christ, and we see that recorded in Matthew chapter 2. Jesus had already been born in Bethlehem when the Magi came to Jerusalem seeking him. And Herod, who didn't have the slightest idea where Jesus might be born, but was worried about any potential threat to his throne, asked the priests and the teachers, "Where is the Christ to be born?" They replied, "In Bethlehem in Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" That's found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. In this response, the priests and teachers combined Micah 5, verse 2, and also Micah 5, verse 4, and predicted rightly that the coming divine king of Judah would be born in Bethlehem. But what I want to focus in on tonight is what comes next in verse 2 of Micah 5. Micah had been prophesying of the fall of Jerusalem throughout the book of Micah, but here in chapter 5, he tells them that this will not always be the case. That in fact there will be a time of permanent triumph and greatness when the divine ruler prophesied for Israel comes. And we see that this one who was to come forth from a small town called Bethlehem, which was south of Jerusalem. It's interesting, as I was looking into this and studying this, this was also the place of the birthplace of David. And we see that this one who was to come was to go forth for God to be ruler in Israel, as it says there in Micah 5, 2. The idea of the Messiah being a ruler wasn't unique. It was prophesied in the covenant God made with David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. I'll read that. It says, "And your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever." And as we look at this covenant that God made with David, we understand that God promised a kingdom that would last forever. And a kingdom that was to last forever could only be ruled by a king who would also reign forever. And that is what we see the prophet Micah foretell. Here in verse 2, Micah gives an undeniable insight into the very nature of the promised Messiah who is to come. He says his goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. This one who was to come from this insignificant town called Bethlehem and who was to be the ruler of Israel, it says, has no beginning and has no end. Many of us are familiar with in Revelation where it says of Jesus, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is eternal God. He is the King of Kings. The prophet Isaiah gives us similar insight into the nature of the Messiah in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. It says in Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." So as we come tonight and we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, let us remember this was no mere baby. Jesus Christ came into the world as a small child, as an infant. But we understand that as we looked at these other passages, he's also eternal God. And as we see in Philippians 2, who humbled himself by taking on the form of a bondservant and who is made in the likeness of men. It is he who we come to worship this evening, amen? Just as the Magi did in Matthew chapter 2, and I want to read this. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 9, speaking of the Magi, it says, "And having heard the king, they went on their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them, until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh." Let us be like the Magi this evening as we come to celebrate the birth of Christ. Let us do this with exceeding joy. Amen. As we think about the ramifications of his coming, eternal God coming to earth to seek and to save the lost. Let us fall down and worship him and present our gifts to him. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name." Pray with me. Lord, we give thanks to you. You are our eternal God, who came to earth as a man to live a righteous life and to die to take the punishment for our sins, the punishment that we deserved. But you took because of your amazing love and your amazing grace. You are our mighty God, our eternal Father, our Prince of Peace, like Isaiah prophesied. Lord, we worship you, and we offer to you our sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to your name. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.